that verse of Scripture, to look it up and to read it and study it and memorize it. Basically, what it says is we're all going to be tempted, right? But every time we're tempted, God is faithful to us and will give us a way where we don't have to give in to that temptation. I have asked two assistants to come up for just a moment this morning and help me, if you two would come. Come on. I want you to verify something for me. That bag is empty, right? Are you sure? No, it's not really empty. It's got air in it. Now, it's more empty than it was, right?
No.
It's got most of the air out of it, so just squeeze it. There's not anything but air in there, right? Okay. There's not anything but air in there, right? Take it and squeeze it. You're sure there's nothing in there? You're positive? Okay, that's all I needed. Thank you. You may be seated. They were right. There wasn't anything in it, but there's about to be something in it. We call these the XYZs. Is that right? Are these the XYZs? No, they're the ABCs. And we're going to take the ABCs and we're going to put them down in this bag. Oh, come back for a minute. I meant to ask you another question. All right. Now, is there anything in the bag?
Yes.
What's in the bag?
ABCs.
ABCs. Very good. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, we said that whoops, things get old and fall apart. Yeah. We said we were going to be tempted, right? So I want to talk a minute about temptation, but I'm going to talk about a temptation that nobody here has ever faced, so you don't have to worry about it because I'm not talking about you. I'm going to step on somebody else's toes this morning, okay? Some people are tempted to criticize other people, to talk about them badly behind their back. I know nobody here would ever do anything like that. So I can use this as an illustration, right? Because you're not going to ever talk about anybody. Okay, now, I'm going to let this block represent the believer. The believer is you and me. We're the ones that have the opportunity to escape temptation when it comes if we trust God that He'll give us a way and a means of escape. Now, there's one more temptation that I want to talk about, and that is the temptation to get angry. Nobody ever gets angry, right? Forgive me, Lord. I get angry all the time. And so, we have the opportunity, if we trust God, He'll give us a way of means of escape. And how do we do that? Well, we call on Him. We say, God, help me in this situation. And He promises to do so. With every temptation, He's faithful and just to give us a way of escape. Now, we might be tempted to get angry. We might be tempted to talk about somebody else, but we don't have to give in because He gives us a way and a means to escape. Would my two assistants please come back? Now, I want you to look in that empty bag. What do you find in that empty bag? Will you take it out? Thank you very much. The believer is safe and sound. Thank you. You may be seated now because God has given us a way and a means to escape. Thank you very much.
All right, now we're going to sing, stand, and sing This Is My Father's World. The words will be on the wall. But for you who like to use the hymnal, it's page number 144 in the hymn book.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me. Trees of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, he shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass, he speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world, oh let me ne'er forget. That though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. Amen. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad. Amen.
You may be seated. Jonathan was talking about the beginning of the scouting movement. Well, the Methodist, i.e. United Methodist Church, in 2020 celebrated 100 years as sponsors for Boy Scouts of America. Again, we welcome all of you who are here today and those of you who are worshiping with us as guests. We're happy to have you as well. Our scripture lesson this morning comes out of the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. I'll begin reading at the 14th verse. A man who was going on a journey called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents. To another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the two talents also came. Master, he said, you have entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. Well then, you should have at least put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I am eternally grateful for the Boy Scouts of America. I grew up in a single parent, bi-generational home as an only child. Mother wanted me to experience the best that scouting had to offer. Cub Scouting, when I was a scout, was a little different than what it was now. There were basically three awards, wolf, bear, and lion. And then Weebelows was a transitional badge at that time, leading from Cub Scouting into Boy Scouting, and basically was the same as Scouting Tenderfoot, the first badge along the way. And then, as a Boy Scout, I attained the honor of Eagle. I received 72 merit badges. I am a Vigil Honor member of the Order of the Arrow. I was Lodge Chief of Onchinanchi Lodge for 2 years. I attended 2 National Jamborees. Made 2 trips to Philmont Scout Ranch. Got to be a part of camp staff at Camp Zen in Anniston, Alabama for 5 years. I worked one summer as an adult at Camp Westmoreland up in the Shoals area. I was chaplain of Camp Rainy Mountain for 1 year. I was invited to be a chaplain at a national jamboree. Didn't get to do it. Then I served as a scoutmaster for 3 years and we had 7 eagles. I am eternally grateful to Boy Scouts of America. However, in recent years, things have happened that has caused scouting to get a bad name, and rightfully so. There were men in leadership in the scouting program that did despicable things, and they're being called, at least some of them, to account for that. I wish that had not happened. First of all, because of the victims. But second of all, because it tarnished the name of Boy Scouts of America. However, that being said, you go anywhere in the workplace that you want to in this day and time, and you will find people being sexually abused. You come into the church, and it happens in the church. So I just want you to know that I, for one, am not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I believe from the bottom of my heart of the value of the scouting program. Because scouting teaches many wonderful values. It gives you skills that you can use throughout life. And I am a better man today because I grew up as a member of the Boy Scouts of America. Our color guard stood before us earlier this morning, and they told us that the motto of Boy Scouts is, say it with me, be prepared. That wasn't very good. Let's do that again. Ready? One, two, three. Be prepared. All right? They also told us that the motto, or I want to tell you that the motto of the Cub Scouts is, do your best. Would you help me with that? Do your best. Be prepared. Do your best. That's good advice for scouts. It's biblical advice for all of us. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, we read, do your best. Work from the heart and do it for your real master, God. This verse is talking about a quality of heart and life, about a willingness to give your all, everything you have, to go the extra mile. When we talk about being prepared, doing your best, athletics applaud our best. Academics award our best. Character admires our best. Craftsmanship pays extra to receive our best. Business promotes our best. Death eulogizes our best. As Christians, we strive to do our best. We should be prepared. In Ephesians chapter 6, we read, the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he or she does. The Bible teaches us, and I believe, that one of these days, the small will become great. The forgotten will be remembered. The unnoticed will be crowned, and the faithful will be honored. In the scripture passage that I read a few moments ago, Jesus tells a story about a king who went away on a long journey. Before he leaving, he entrusted money to three of his servants. He gave five bags of silver, the Bible calls them talents, to one, and two bags to one, and one bag to one, according to their abilities. Sometimes we get lost in this. We say that we're all created equal, and in the eyes of God, we are. But anywhere you look, there's somebody who can do something better than you can do it. But at the same time, there's some things you can do better than somebody else can. God made us to be who we are. There are so many things I wish I could do that I can't. But I'm grateful for what I can do. And so he divided up this money and left on his journey. And when he returned, he discovered that the one that had only received a single talent did nothing with it, while the servants with 5 and 2 talents had doubled their money. The king was full of praise for them. And this is what he said. Well done, good and faithful servants. You've been faithful in handling what you received. Now I'll give you more responsibilities and we'll celebrate together. This verse talks about, at least to me, what it means to be prepared, to do your best. And when you are prepared, when you're doing your best, it requires effort. You have to work at it. God didn't say, well said, well thought out, well supervised. He said, well done. The Bible is a book about doing, and words like do, deed, deeds, done occur just in the New Testament 589 times. That's more than twice for every chapter in the New Testament. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, be first in the field and last to the couch. Those of you who are scouts, those of you who have been scouts, I don't have to tell you, advancement is not easy, is it? Sometimes it's hard. I got a lot of merit badges. Most of them I got because I wanted to get them. There were some that I got because I had to get them. If I didn't get them, I wasn't going to be an Eagle Scout. And there were some of them that were downright hard. If I could have rewritten the program, I'd have gotten rid of them. You know what I'm talking about? Being a scout takes effort. Discipline, commitment. I can't tell you how many times as a scout I just wanted to quit. Just give it up. Sometimes other things got in the way. You might call some of those things girls. Sometimes there were things that seemed a whole lot more important. But I believe that becoming an Eagle Scout is one of the most significant things you can ever do. Earlier, he asked all former scouts to stand, and then he asked those that were Eagles to wave their hand. But if you're an Eagle Scout this morning, would you stand up? Would you recognize them for me? Like the servants in the story, God has given us a variety of talents. He gave you some, He didn't give me. He gave me some, He didn't give you. And He expects us to use them. All of us that are here today are God's handcrafted work of art. Not one of us is an assembly line product. We have not been mass produced without thought. Each is custom designed, one of a kind, an original masterpiece. God creatively mixed your DNA cocktail and created you. And he created me. He gave us interests, talents, gifts, personality, life experiences, and he intends for us to use them. Anybody here old enough to remember the cartoon Calvin and Hobbes? Calvin got it right. He said, God put me on earth to accomplish a certain number of things. God put us all on earth to do a certain number, or accomplish a certain number of things. Then he said this. Calvin said, right now, if I've got to accomplish all of them, I'm so far behind, I'll never die. It takes effort to live life. Furthermore, being prepared, doing your best, requires excellence. Notice again what the king said to the faithful servant. He said, well done. Good and faithful servant. We often use these words interchangeably, but they're actually different. Well refers to the quality of your work. Good refers to the quality of your character. So it's not just what we do, it's who we are. Now Jesus said, if a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, go extra and carry it 2 miles. Sometimes if we go that extra mile, we're not as likely to get stuck in traffic. No matter what we do, God wants us to do our best. And if you're going to do your best, you've got to be prepared to do it. Admiral Hyman Rickover was known as the father of the nuclear navy. Following his naval career, he became a freelance reporter. Former President Jimmy Carter wrote an autobiography, and in it he talks about an interview he once had with the Admiral. Admiral Rickover began the interview by asking him where he stood in his class at the Naval Academy. Carter said, I swelled my chest with pride and answered, sir, I stood 59th in a class of 820, and I sat back for congratulations to be patted on the back. Instead came another question, did you do your best? I started to say, yes, sir, but then I remembered who I was talking to. I gulped and admitted, no, sir. I did not always do my best. I've got to tell you, as a scout, as a preacher, as a husband and a father, a son, a friend, I have not always done my best. Rickover looked at me for a long time. Then he asked me one final question. I want to ask you that question this morning. Why not? Be prepared. Do your best. Did you always? No. Why not? Someone once said, success means being the best overall. But excellence means being your best. I started this morning by giving you a litany of what I experienced in scouting. And I excelled. However, all along the line, I have met others who far exceeded my accomplishments. I'm a long way from being the best scout, preacher, whatever, that I could be. And I failed so many times. But I do try to be my best. I strive for excellence. And so, doing your best, being prepared, takes effort and excellence. It also takes endurance. Let's look one more time at that verse, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." The Bible has a lot to say about faithfulness. The dictionary says, faithfulness is either enduring in affection and allegiance or following through regardless of the difficulty. In other words, someone who is faithful is dependable, trustworthy, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind. You heard any of those words before? Faithfulness is stick-to-itiveness. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we find these words, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Bless you. Just be glad it wasn't me. If I sneeze, I put everything in it at least 5 times. I think my record is 9. Bless you. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will award to me on that day. Unlike many athletic competitions and other endeavors in life, running the race in spiritual terms is not trying to be first, but to be faithful. It's trying to finish what you started. Derek Redman was a 2-time British Olympian. He was a sprinter whose career was consistently interrupted by injuries. He had to pull out of the 1984 Olympics before it ever started. In 1988, he pulled out in the open round of 40 meters, 90 seconds before that round began. Before the 1992 Summer Olympics, He underwent 8 operations due to injuries, but was in good form by the time the Barcelona Olympics rolled around. He posted the fastest time ever run in the first round, won his quarterfinal round in a breeze. In the semifinal round, he started well, but about 250 meters from the finish, he tore his hamstring and fell to the ground. The stretcher bearers came running out to assist him, but Redmond waved them off and decided to finish the race. He began to hobble along. He was soon joined by his father, Jim Redmond, who dashed past security out onto the track, took his son by the arm, and Jim and Derek completed that last lap of the track together. Derek leaning on his father's shoulder. As they crossed the finish line, 65,000 spectators rose to give Derek a standing ovation, and I don't know how many people stood up around the world watching on television. I know I did. Afterward, a reporter asked him why he kept going, and this is what he said. "I didn't come here just to try to win the race. I came here to finish the race as well." You know, life's hard. Scouting is hard. I had a great Cub Scout pack and a great experience in Cub Scouting. Moved over into Boy Scouts, and just before my 12th birthday, I was tapped out for the Order of the Arrow. For those of you who don't know, it's an honor branch of scouting that teaches leadership and is based on camping. Before I turned 13, my scout troop folded. From that moment until I was an adult and became the scoutmaster of Troop 134 in Springville, there was not a troop in my hometown. But scouting has an opportunity that they call being a lone scout. And I was able to pay my dues every year and register and continue with scouting. At 14 years of age, I started working at scout camp, and I worked 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. What if I never registered again? What if I said, my town doesn't have a troop anymore, I'm just going to quit? I thought about it. Mother wouldn't let me. I want to tell you today, I'm so glad she didn't. It's about effort. It's about excellence. It's about endurance. A very significant event happened on Tuesday of this week in the United States of America. A man by the name of Tom Brady. Anybody recognize that name? They call him the GOAT. The greatest quarterback of all time. On Tuesday, Tom Brady retired from pro football. Here's what he said. "I have always believed that the sport of football is an all-in proposition. If 100% competitive commitment isn't there, you won't succeed. And success is what I love so much about our game. He goes on to say, for me, there has been a physical, mental, emotional challenge every single day that has allowed me to maximize my highest potential. And so, I have tried my very best these past 22 years to be the best football player I could be. Then he says this, and if you don't hear anything else that I say this morning, hear me. He says, there are no shortcuts on the athletic field, and there are no shortcuts in life. Father, we thank you that you call us to be prepared, that you challenge us to do our best. In your name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand for our closing hymn.
Meet again. By his counsels, God uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again.
We're so glad you came today. And our prayer is that God will be with you, each and every one. God gave the greatest gift that was ever given, and that was the gift of His Son. If you would like to make a gift to Him this morning, the offering plates are at the back. Immediately following this service, I have invited the men and the women of this church to take some dishes and cover them. Hopefully they put some food in them before they covered them. Our fellowship hall is through these doors. You're invited, everyone, to please come and stay for the meal and be a part of our time of fellowship. Let us pray. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. May the rain fall soft upon your fields. Until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of His hand. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You're dismissed.